Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, a basic team culture model for managers, part one of two.
Questions this cast answers are, should I have a culture for my team? What is a good basic culture model for my team? And how do I create the right culture for my team?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
We're excited to be offering our newest training for organizations, our Effective Executive Team Workshop. This training is for your leadership team. It focuses on the achievement of organizational results while developing future leaders. We do this by engaging with your leadership team to develop a strategy system and create a sustainable competitive advantage, an operations system, create the metrics and cadences for the delivery of operational results in support of the strategy, and the people system, results, talent development, succession, and performance management. This engagement can be delivered either standalone or can include an additional 5 months of coaching to support your team's implementations of the plans made during the initial workshop itself. Mark Horstman, co-founder and creator of the Manager Tools Guidance, will be delivering this training. For more information, contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com.
How much traction does culture get as a conversation in organizations? It's something that is constantly referenced, constantly talked about, and often it's assumed that because the entire organization has a culture, which is, I think, an assumption without merit, because in fact, that's always based on some kind of document somewhere that has a bunch of smushy words. And I don't, in fact, think that most people's idea of the culture is what the culture actually is, right?
So, yeah, totally agree.
To say, oh, the organization has a culture is a little bit misleading in terms of what we think a culture should be. Mm-hmm. And that mindset causes managers to think that they shouldn't have their own culture.
Right, within their team.
Right. And we disagree. We think that that's wrong and that it's not the right way to approach a solution, at least partially because organizational cultures are often just a bunch of smushy words on a document somewhere. They're not well communicated. People couldn't tell them to you. I mean, we talk to clients all the time and I say, hey, well, can you share with me your core values?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's another thing that it gets called in. And the response I always hear is, we can send you the document via email.
Yeah, exactly. We have
nobody
a PDF.
Can parrot it back to me. So if the culture of your company is like that, or if it's really not tailored to your team's work, which is also possible because it's, you know, it's got a problem with, it has to apply to so many different areas, kind of like HR does. And usually those are the guys who are in charge of it. It doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't have your own. You can, and you should.
Within your team.
So we're going to teach you today, we're in this cast, we're going to share with you how you can create simple culture for you and your team. So exciting.
Exactly. So exciting. Now, folks, something to keep in mind is, by definition, you have a culture. You always have one. It exists, to Kate's point, whether or not you're aware of it, it's there. Because culture is nothing more than the sum of all of the behaviors that you and your team members are engaging in. So, folks, your team behaves. It has a culture by definition.
Right. What's allowed and what isn't.
Yeah, exactly. And those things are often the things that are either rewarded or punished. Maybe that's not the right word I want to say, but they're the things that you value, that by way of your behavior, you presume to value. And the problem is that those behaviors, what is your actual culture, may not be what you actually want your culture to be. So it's more than just behaving in the world, more than just doing. You might want to think about it a little bit first. What kind of culture do you want? Right?
Yeah. Most managers, we think, kind of assume they have what they have, and that's just it. And those are what's going to happen. But you don't have to settle for that. You can ask your people for certain things and ask them not to do certain things. And so because you can do that, you can create any culture you want, obviously within reason. And the real interesting piece is how little it is discussed how to create a culture. I often, though, wonder why we don't talk more, as managers in general, about how our own behavior sets that tone.
Yeah.
I am constantly reminded in meetings observing my team members about how they tend to mimic the leaders in their organization. And so if you ever hear somebody say something that you used to, that you say, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of funny. The thing that I heard this week is Mike, who does not work for me, for clarity's sake, said to me that he was chapped about something.
Yeah, see? And chapped is a Kate word.
That's not a culture thing, right? It is, though, a function of the fact that my husband's from Idaho and he says it. So I started saying it.
Yeah.
And now people at Manager Tools say it. And it is not a thing that you hear often. And the people you spend time with, the people you communicate with, you tend to adopt some of each other's words, phrases, and behaviors.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're not intentional about it, it's going to happen anyway. So you might as well be intentional about it. We're going to share today in our guidance what we think the base culture ought to be for all the managers. And you are all going to want to hear this guidance and then add more. And that'll be totally fine. Now, be careful maybe to add too many cultural touch points. At some point, they're going to start conflicting with one another. But we can discuss some things today that are just standard base cultural things that you should outline for your team as your basic team culture.
Yeah. The other problem with having too many is it causes people to have too much to focus on.
Yeah.
And we don't want to distract from getting stuff done. And when you create too many, they can't repeat them. They don't know how to execute. So simple is probably best as you start this. And then once you build a basic, like kind of underlying bedrock of these things that you really want, you can maybe add a little bit more. We're going to, for this content, talk about three pieces of culture, which are a culture of results, a culture of communication, and a culture of professional relationships.
Exactly.
And we're going to start with results because this is us.
Yeah.
Because what else would we?
It's the most important thing, folks. A manager's first responsibility is results. This is the most important thing your organization demands of you. You simply cannot talk about culture without talking about results. Results, frankly, are what keeps our organization alive. Having a culture without results makes absolutely no sense. You've probably noticed that when many organizations talk about their culture, to Kate's point, they use nice, pretty documents and they use fluffy words.
Ooh, so many
that
colors.
Exactly. They're colorful and they're pretty and they usually have like arrows on them, like in some sort of flow chart kind of direction. Mm-hmm. And they're emotional words like passion and enthusiasm and flexible and innovative and creative. And all of these things are well and good, but all of these fancy words for far too many organizations and far too many managers obscure what our responsibilities actually are. Mm-hmm. When they don't, these culture documents include results, it sends a signal to the organization that its results are not its primary focus. But of course, our results are our primary focus, and these cultural documents missing that key piece of why our organizations exist is just, it's ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. We talk about this all the time, right? There's a basic premise at Manager Tools, which I don't think I've ever verbalized because it's so entrenched in our mindsets. And I see it as this. There's a gap between a description and a behavior. Like when you describe something like collaborative. Mm-hmm. This gap exists for almost all the things I hear from people when people communicate, if it's via a core values document, if it's via a description of somebody, whatever conversations we're having, again, via printed documentation or
signs on the wall.
Communication, signs on the wall. Yes. There's a gap so often in what we say and that being translated into what you should do about it. Mm-hmm. And that's a very basic Manager Tools premise. We talk about some version of this in almost every single podcast. They're telling you this, here's what it means from an action perspective.
Yeah.
And in this case, this is just another version of manager tools saying, hey, they're going to say to you, this is what's important. And you have to distill that into something that you can use, see. You have to make it into a set of steps.
Yeah.
Effectively, like do this, do this, do this, do that. And we don't, I don't believe at all that organizations mean with their culture statements to obscure the focus on results. We don't, don't believe that that's true. In fact, what I think probably happens is a bunch of happy people mm-hmm. get into a room and they say a lot of things about how they want people to act mm-hmm. at the company. And then somebody smushes six of those or 12 of them together and creates categories.
Yeah.
And okay, while that's one way to do it, again, they're not trying to obscure results, but it's been our experience that culture becomes like a separate thing.
Yes.
Like it's not just we created these categories and it's a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. It's also almost like it's assumptive that, yeah, of course we'll hit our results.
Well, that's underlying. Like we don't need to talk about that. That's just a given.
You know, it's again, I imagine this I've made up this meeting in my mind of this HR meeting of where they make the smushy words. And it's almost as if HR doesn't feel responsible for results.
Yeah.
The people making this beautiful sheet of paper don't feel responsible for results. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, I'm not going to suggest that they're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really not responsible for results to an extent, right?
Right.
If you're in HR, that's not your focus necessarily. Now, there's revenues and you could say, well, that's not actually true, Kate. And of course, I'm sure some HR person will come for me and say, Kate, you obviously don't understand HR. And that's probably valid.
Yeah.
The purpose of these documents is not ever to have a discussion about what the results are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when I've seen it happen. It's like, right, they're not like, they don't come together to say, okay, what are the most important things? And they, it's almost like they start with, this stuff is already happening.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the human side of it. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree, it is not safe to assume that this stuff is already happening, all bunny ears around that, and assume that one of the things that is already happening, bunny ears, is results.
Is results, exactly.
And if you're a manager, you know that because results aren't happening.
Right.
Not to the extent that we'd like.
Yeah.
So they're separate almost, and they should, well, again, this is another place where HR and what the company's providing you is probably not inclusive of everything you have to do.
Yeah.
Because again, that's not, they can't have all that purview. Mm-hmm. And so you have to start with, okay, we have this paper, but also we have this.
Right. That's the thing.
And it has to be results.
It has to be results. And folks, the risk here is that you as a manager take your eye off the ball, you read their fancy pretty document, you don't see the word results on it, and you think that that's the only thing that you should focus on. But you can just imagine that in an exit interview, you saying, well, I was really focused on the culture of the organization, but didn't hit any of my results objectives, that they would say, okay, well, dude, you missed the point. Like, that's not...
Right, that was above and beyond.
That was assumptive. We didn't say that.
Right.
No amount of defending the culture document will ensure that your job is taken care of, which is why the culture document must have in it results. Folks, you probably have heard us say this before. If you haven't, you should know this information to be true. An organization's culture is nothing more than the sum total of all of its behaviors. A company can proclaim its culture with a bunch of fancy words and a document, but in the end, it all comes down to serving society, which is measured in operational results. Trust us when we say that a company that is not performing will not get a pass just because its culture is applauded. You have to do them both.
This is timely, but one thing that comes to mind is that companies provide like stuff for babies and kids, right?
Sure.
That's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah.
They will still go under.
Yeah.
If they are not profitable.
Exactly.
Like, sure, you make diaper cream. Cool. The world needs that. You didn't make a profit, you will not survive.
Right. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Whether or not what you're doing is something that the world needs, unfortunately, one of the ways that gets measured is in continuation of your ability to do it. And that relies upon
the thing.
You being financially stable.
Right.
Now, again, somebody's going to come for me and say something about startups. And I'm going to say, dude, nice try.
Right.
So there's that.
You can create a beautiful culture that people love working for your organization. But if we, the consumers, don't buy anything from you, you won't be able to pay those people. And I assure you, the people that work for you don't want the job if it turns into a volunteer position. They don't. They love your culture until the implication is, oh, you're doing this for free. They're like, okay, no, you know what? Never mind. I loved the culture. They won't give me a basket. I'll go there anyway.
Yeah.
Because they'll pay me.
Yeah, no.
That's what jobs are. That's what work life is. That's what organizations do.
Yes. And conversely, if the company does well, mm-hmm. then other companies strive to emulate that culture.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about this morning, a little bit about companies who have a why behind what they do. And they have that why, and that's fantastic. And again, if you're good at it, guess what? Other companies want to be like you. Having a why won't do anybody any good unless what you're selling mm-hmm. is bought. Like, it's just not going to work, right?
Exactly.
Because you're going to fail at your why the minute you start to run out of funds.
Exactly. So,
and this is where it gets turned around, right? In terms of the company, is if a company tries to emulate another company and their culture because of their culture, what they're really doing is acting as if culture drives results.
Right.
And unfortunately, not.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily right. true. It's not a causal relationship.
Right. Culture can only drive results if results are a core part of the culture and not simply something that is assumed.
Exactly. That is exactly it. A lot of New Year's resolutions are about breaking bad habits or taking things out of your life, like weight or debt. However, some common resolutions are about self-improvement, like learning a new skill. This year, learn how to be a great manager. Our Manager Tools license provides you with all the tools you need to be a better manager. Plus, you'll skip the waiting list on all training events and have 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week support from the Manager Tools chatbot and our team of professionals. Learn more about how we can help you achieve your resolution this year by visiting us at manager-tools.com/licenses. So as a manager then, how can we instill this culture of results? Well, believe it or not, as simple and basic as this sounds, you don't have to explicitly say that your team or organization will have a culture of results. You can simply make results the priority communications you have with your team and the rest of your organization. Now, folks, to be clear, we still recommend you explicitly state that your culture is primarily focused around results. Now, it sounds simple, but folks, there's a lot of work that's going to go into this. You can't just go and tell everybody tomorrow, hey guys, we have a culture of results, and now it's done. There we go, taken care of. First, you got to be sure what your results actually are.
Or what they should be.
Or what they should be, exactly. And for many managers, that's not that easy. Now, if you are one of those managers who does not, or individual contributors for that matter, who does not know what you and or your team's results or goals are, we've got a podcast for you called How to Get Your Goals from Your Boss. Mm-hmm. They may not have been given to you explicitly. This is not unusual. We hate that it's true, but it's not outside the realm of possibility, nor is it all that uncommon. You don't have results. You got to go get them in order to instill this culture of results. Now, regrettably, getting your goals from your boss, if you don't already have them, is not an insignificant undertaking. It means you're going to have to spend some time. You're going to have to prepare a draft of what you think your goals should be before you go to your boss. I assure you, if you go to your boss and just carte blanche say, What are my goals, boss? What should my results be? You're not going to get anything, but I assure you, if you spend some time thinking about it, writing down, coming up with a list of what you think your goals and or results should be, and you take them to your boss will tell you if you're wrong. And that's essentially the thought process behind it.
Or help you to adjust them. And y'all,
exactly.
We really, really want to encourage you to do this. I understand completely, having worked in an organization for a really long time where goals were not clearly defined. Yep. I understand the fear.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I totally get it. You're afraid. You're thinking, I should know. And you're right. The fact that you don't know is the majority in my experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're among the normals. Not your fault. Yes. It's not your fault. And the anxiety around not knowing what your results are meant to be is unnecessary.
Yeah.
You could even just make them up.
Mm-hmm.
Invent some numbers. I mean, literally write down, these are the things I'm supposed to be doing, and then metricize them. Like, insert X and Y into the sentence.
Yeah.
Additionally, you might be thinking, gosh, my boss is going to find out I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I get that. Here's a really good thing to think about. This cast is coming out at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So a little late for this particular thing. But like the end of the year, when we're recording it right now, is such a good time to be having these conversations, because no one's going to say to you, well, why are you doing it now?
Yeah.
And this is also true of every single end of quarter.
Yeah.
So if it's the end of the quarter, so let's say you hear this cast in February, good. At the end of March, in March, start asking these questions. And guess what? When somebody says to you, hey, why are you doing this now? Yeah. You say, because dude, it's the end of the quarter. That means the year is already a quarter of the way done. And I just want to make sure I'm on track.
Yeah.
Anytime you're at a milestone, mid-year, end of the year, people say, why are you doing this? You say, dude, I got to set up some goals. I mean, we've already had one quarter. Now we have some data about how this year is going to go. Why wouldn't I reassess my goals at each quarter based on the data I have that I can add to my set of information?
Yeah.
So if you're stressed about it, look, you can alleviate that stress forever by simply doing it in a time frame that allows you to say, yeah, it's the end of the quarter. I've got extra data now. Thought I'd readjust.
Right. And folks, if it helps, and it's probably going to sound cynical to say it out loud, but in our experience, many bosses don't have clear goals and results mapped out for their directs either. So if you don't want to look silly because you don't want to go to your boss because you assume they know what your goals are, you feel like you should know what your goals are. And if you go to them with this list and present to them, I think these are what my goals are, that it's going to somehow be wrong to their list, you're probably wrong. You really are. Chances
are
they
don't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah, they don't have a list of what your goals are and what your goals should be. They are pretty sure that they also don't really know firmly what your results are and should be. So just come up with them yourself and don't overthink it, to Kate's point. It's not a trick question. It's just not a trick question. Like, what are the basics? Like, what do you have to ensure gets done? Period.
Mm-hmm.
What are the most important things you do? Period.
Start with revenue, guys.
Yeah. Start with revenue. If the organization measures it, it's probably a primary goal or result. Organizations measure the things they want to make sure get done. Write those down.
If you don't have revenue, cost. Literally, exactly. Start with money. Does it cost something? Are you costing or are you contributing? Start there.
Yeah, exactly. If there's a number wrapped around it, then yeah.
Yeah. If there's a dashboard.
Yeah, exactly. All of those kinds of things. And if you pull this list together, let's say for your boss, and you take it to your boss, because again, remember, they probably don't have a list for you themselves. They're probably just going to bless your list. And thus you have just come up with your own results.
Yay.
The risk here is far, far less than you think it might be in this activity. It's very rare that a boss would let you do your job knowing what your results are.
What you told them you were going to do.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, no. You are currently not off base with your current results and or goals, even if you don't know what they are because you've never written them down. You are currently probably doing the right things. It's rare that a boss would see you doing the things that you are not say anything to you, thus blessing them, through inaction, silently consenting to them, and then later withdraw their consent and punish you for doing the wrong things when you brought them a list of things that was exactly what you were already doing. In terms of your activity, the things that you're doing now are probably the right things. I mean, if you're not getting punished for what you're doing now, and you seem to be on track, and your boss seems to be pretty happy with what you're doing, those are the things. You know what they are. It's that easy.
Mm-hmm. Now, some managers are going to pause here and think, well, this is going to be hard. So maybe I just won't make results a part of my culture.
Yeah.
Or even worry that my boss will hold me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
He never really has before. Dude, that sounds great.
Yeah.
It's an enticing offer. The problem with it is that at the end of the year, neither you nor your boss will have any objective measures upon which to grade you or your team's performance. And there really should be something metricized enough for us to be able to say yes or no around, did you make your goals? I got a performance review and the goal for my next year was to get more technical.
Oh, okay.
Now, if I'm being nice, I would mention that I had only been in the role 3 months. And so it was a very short time span mm-hmm. to be basing a review upon. However, it was a rampant problem and it lacked clarity, right? It's not metricized. It's not an objective measure. And so for 3 years, I had the same goal on my review. And every year I would get a new manager because I was in a matrix organization. And by the time we got to the new manager in the review, their perception of what would achieve that goal was different
mm-hmm.
than what the previous manager had thought. And then because of that, I would bring them what the previous manager had asked me to do. And they would say, oh yeah, this isn't,
this isn't technical, Kate.
Mm-mm. And so I've just spent 3 years doing a bunch of work that somebody, you know, in January would tell me to do. And by the time the checking of the box came around, the new person would say, oh, that's not what I would have asked you to do. Because it wasn't objective. It wasn't behavioral. It could have been done any number of ways. And I tried many different things to take it off my review. And the best part about all of this is that the last year in which I was involved in this fight uphill, oh, it was just awful. The last year, my role included designing and assessing the design mathematically of parachutes for air launch missile defense systems. So put a missile in the back of a plane, drop the missile out of the plane on parachutes, cut the parachutes off, and then shoot the missile at another missile and don't hit the plane. So then I just have like a lot of questions about what else is more technical. Now, look, it's not brain surgery, but that's pretty technical. So if it's not objective, your people are going to struggle, you're going to struggle, and you won't be able to say, yes, we did it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we didn't. And then you'll likely end up doing what most managers do in these situations, and you'll cultivate a great relationship, doing whatever they ask, hoping they'll like you when review time comes.
Yeah.
Because that would be the only positive thing that would influence the tone of your review, rather than, did I check these boxes?
Exactly. You're going to accidentally create a culture that you hate, because people are going to think that the way to meet the standards of the boss is to kiss up to the boss. You're going to hate it. You're not going to like it. You're not going to get the results that you want. So, yes, first step, identify results. Figure out what they are. Ask your boss for them. Now, let's assume at this point, you know your results and your boss approves in some fashion what those intended results ought to be. Now, mind you, these results could be coming in the form of goals to be achieved or metrics to be met or even exceeded. It could be parts inspected per employee per hour or modules completed per time period or per sales quarter or applications processed per week. Again, all of these things are up to you. We know many managers who've not been given any guidance here are going to want some guidance here. And we recommend that if you're coming up with a suite of measurements, you work with your team to agree
on what the most important metrics are. You don't have to do it all yourself. Now, this does not mean you can't tell your team today that you intend to roll out some cultural guidelines for your team. And first, you're going to implement a culture of results. And what that means is you're going to work with them to come up with the measures. So you don't need to stop all activity in this cultural creation for your team while you're getting your goals. Just tell your team, hey guys, we're going to start it. First thing we've got, cultural results, and we're going to work toward figuring out what those are.
That's it, y'all. We'll be back next week with a continuation of this topic. And on a personal note, when you're listening to this podcast, I am likely already on maternity leave. Woo-hoo! I'll be back later in the spring to chat with y'all some more. But for now, I have to say goodbye, and I'll see everybody in March or April when I'm back from maternity leave.
Bye, everyone.